It's the next gear on PodTech.net. I'm Matt Kelly, and I'm joined today by Russ Rader. He is Director of Media Relations for the Institute for Highway Safety. And Russ, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Your organization recently released, just this past week, some crash test ratings.
We call them mini cars. They're really the sort of the subcompact cars, the smallest cars sold in the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you rate these cars?
Well, we conduct crash tests throughout the year. And this is the first time that we have tested and rated for crashworthiness mini cars, these small cars that have gained in popularity since fuel prices have begun to fluctuate and are generally higher now across the country.
And what did the ratings in this crash test simulation tell you?
Well, we rate vehicles on a scale of good to poor. It's good, acceptable, marginal, and poor. And we conduct three crash tests, a frontal evaluation, a side impact test that simulates what happens if an SUV or a pickup truck strikes a car in the side, and a rear test where we're looking at how well the seats and head restraints protect you in a rear-end crash. And the star performer in this group of vehicles was the Nissan Versa. This is one of the new crop of mini cars, and it earned the highest rating of good in all three of these crash test evaluations.
Not all the cars did as well.
Right, not all of them did this well. We have four vehicles that did reasonably well. In addition to the Versa, we have the we rated the Toyota Yaris. With its optional side impact airbags, the Yaris earned the highest rating of good in the front and side tests. The Honda Fit also earned the highest rating of good in the front and side test. However, both of those vehicles did not perform as well as the Versa in the rear impact test. The Yaris is rated marginal in that test, and the Fit is actually rated poor. We had earlier tested the BMW Mini Cooper in these three crash tests as well, and it came out reasonably well. Good in the frontal evaluation, it's acceptable in the side test with its standard side airbags, and marginal for rear crash protection. And then we had a group of vehicles that were, I guess you could say, at the bottom of the list. The Hyundai Accent and its sister vehicle, the Kia Rio, was really the lowest car in this group, lowest rated car in this group. It earned an acceptable rating in the frontal offset test. That's not a bad rating, but almost every other car is getting a good rating in that test. It earned the lowest rating of poor in the side impact test, even though it has standard side airbags, and it's rated poor for rear crash protection as well.
As I understand, these tests were done simulating a vehicle that is one of the large-scale vans or trucks that are out there today, and that's what it was somewhat simulating?
What we wanted to do was rate these vehicles so that consumers could see which ones provide the best overall protection. The frontal test is a 40-mile-per-hour test that essentially simulates what happens if a vehicle goes over the center line on a highway and crashes into a vehicle of similar weight head-on. It's a good test to see how well the structure of the vehicle holds up to protect the occupants, because if the structure of the vehicle, where the structure of the cabin, if it collapses in the test, then the airbags can't do a good job of protecting the people inside. The side impact test is really the test that you were just referring to that simulates what happens when a pickup or an SUV hits the vehicle in the side. The barrier that hits the test vehicle represents the front end of a typical SUV. It's not the largest SUV, but it's sort of a typical midsize SUV. And the test is designed really to, in one sense, find out how well the vehicle protects your head in a side impact crash, because we know that head injuries are one of the common injuries that cause death in side impact crashes. And so we designed a test so that the barrier is high like an SUV. So the vehicle needs to have side airbags, for example, that protect the head and cushion the head in that crash.
Does the results of this side impact test, though, tell us more that we should be building better cars or that these SUVs are a menace on the roadway?
I guess it shows two things. First of all, SUVs are part of the picture out on our highways, and they will be for the foreseeable future. So what we wanted to do with this test was push the automakers to make changes to their car designs to better protect people when they are in crashes with SUVs and pickups. Nissan figured out how to do that with the Versa. It earned the highest rating of good in this very severe test, and we want the other automakers to follow suit. We know it can be done, but you really need two things. It's not enough just to have side airbags. You also need to have the structure of the side of the vehicle that is strong and can resist that impact, because if there's too much crushing, if the SUV or the pickup truck crashes too far into the vehicle, then the side airbags don't really matter because they can't do a good job of cushioning your head in that kind of situation. But we saw with the Nissan Versa that if you design a solid structure, even in one of these very small cars, you can have a vehicle that protects people in one of the most severe types of crashes.
And who is the Institute for Highway Safety?
Well, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is a nonprofit highway safety research group. We are funded by the nation's auto insurers with the goal of reducing deaths and injuries and property damage out on the highway. So we started these crash tests in 1995 to really pressure the automakers to make safety changes to their vehicles that go beyond what the government requires. People think that if a vehicle is sold, then it must be safe. But there are certain minimum standards that the federal government requires in vehicles. But what we're doing with these crash tests is really pushing the automakers to go further than that and make vehicles even safer. And we publish the crash test results so people can see which vehicles offer the best protection so that they can then go buy those vehicles and, in effect, reward the manufacturers who make the safer vehicles.
Do you think, though, that there might be, a negative impact, in a sense, with your work by sending a message subliminally or something to say that, small cars are unsafe on the roadways, I need a big SUV?
In this report, we point out a very important aspect of this, which is that you can't overturn the laws of physics. With all the airbags in the world, the laws of physics still rule. And if you are in one of these very small cars, you are at a disadvantage, an automatic disadvantage in a crash. We're not trying to get people to buy SUVs. But what we are saying is that size and weight do matter in crashes. And if safety is your priority, you should buy something a little bigger than one of these mini cars. It doesn't have to be a tank. You can buy a mid-size car, and that can offer even some of the slightly larger small cars, like in the Honda Civic class. Those vehicles offer more safety and still provide very good fuel economy. You don't need to give up fuel economy to get safety, but you also shouldn't buy one of these small cars if safety is your biggest priority.
Is it up to the automakers then to build a safer car that can withstand these types of crashes better and have more safety features?
Yes, and they can build a small car that offers better protection than others. For example, as we see with the Nissan Versa, it is a small, fuel-efficient car that offers better protection than, say, a Hyundai Accent. But you can never get past the laws of physics, and when big vehicles, big heavy vehicles, collide with small light vehicles, the people in the small light vehicle always come out with the short end of the stick. And that will always be the case when we have this mix of vehicles out on the road of some very big ones and some very small ones.
And will the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety soon be conducting tests on some of these alternative vehicles that are coming into the market, either as one-seater or classified as motorcycles, but actually riding the roadways as automobiles?
Well, we are concerned about some of these vehicles that are really sort of glorified golf carts that are coming out in many communities, because, again, you have the problem of very big vehicles traveling on roads with very light ones. Even in one of those vehicles that you describe, you know, when you collide with a subcompact car, you're at a disadvantage in one of those sort of these very small commuter vehicles that in some cases don't even have to meet the basic government standards that regular cars do. So that is a concern.
And your final thoughts on the state of the industry in terms of safety and the role of the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety?
Well, vehicles are getting much safer. There's no question about that. But consumers do have to realize that when they are buying one of these mini cars, that there is a trade-off. And they can buy very fuel-efficient cars that get almost or as good a fuel economy as these mini cars if they just step up a little bit size. And you get more protection in real-world crashes, and you don't have to give up really good fuel economy.
Russ Rader, spokesman for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
For the next year, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.